May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God two portions, friends. That is St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, reading the first 15 verses, and Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and reading there the first 17 verses. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judah and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending on upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Thus far we read there, friends. Let us also now read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come, seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him, and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O thou most holy, great and eternal Lord God, thou the great God, the living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Oh, may we feel this, Lord, and feel the humbling sense of it, that, Lord, if we are thine, thou holdest our souls in life. Oh, we gather here, Lord, professedly as thy people. But, oh, Lord, we do pray we may be earnestly exercised personally to know this with some measure of assurance that we are indeed thine. Lord, we would not bring before the friends anything to prompt them to take for granted. And personally, Lord, we believe each one is indeed graciously exercised, will not want to presume. The Lord, we do want to know tonight that reality of thy favour, truly known and felt. The Lord, it is of thy mercies that we're not consumed. And, oh Lord, we pray it may be given us to believe that thy merciful kindness is indeed toward us, and from eternity to eternity, this is our favour. Oh Lord, we do beg that we might have the precious vital grace of faith in exercise. In Thee, O Lord, the Lamb of God. Oh Lord, we read of Thy being in this world, come to this world. And Lord, at that time when that forerunner appointed should speak of Thee, behold the Lamb of God. And Lord, how Thou didst come even unto him to be baptized of him. But, O Lord, we pray that we may know what we've read. Oh, that we have received that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we pray, Lord, for precious souls here. We pray together. We trust there are those of us we join together, Lord, bringing our exercise and burden for souls before Thee. That exercise Thou hast given us, the burden Thou hast given us, and we believe it is through the great favour of personal experience of our need, our need of Thee, the Lord and Saviour. This gives us exercise for others. Thou would bless souls, teach them by Thy Spirit. Oh, may there be those things done here this night. Thou knowest how our dear friend has, I believe, Lord, wrestled with Thee. And we believe the dear deacons do. And Lord, how we've been singing. Oh, the depth of those things expressed in that hymn we begun with tonight. We beg of Thee, Lord, we may be favoured here tonight. Look into Thy word and consider it. Thou mightest by the Holy Spirit so affect us and lead us and teach us. May we know the divine operation of the Holy Spirit working within us, Lord, and in our midst. Oh, may we know those exercises of the Spirit given us in earnestness of our need, our asking, our begging, that Thou wilt so deal with us and favour us that we might hear the blessed gospel tonight. Help a poor one to preach it, Lord. Oh Lord, Thou knowest we've been meditating a little in Thy word, we trust through the day. Oh, so the theme of Dear Heart's hymn has come. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, do come tonight. Favour souls here. Oh, Lord, any that may have been waiting many years, may there be that personal self-examination of how we stand. Oh Lord, and whatever it is, Lord, that is in any way a barrier or a reason for bondage, oh Lord, may there be that favour tonight brought where poor souls shall be brought into liberty. Knoweth how in the week we were also pondering and meditating upon the things of the Jubilee. And we have thought, Lord, as we read in Leviticus 25, how, Lord, in those repeated 7 years, seven times seven, and Lord, the seventh year, the fasting, oh Lord, Thou knowest what all this is in the reality of it in Thy people's experience. But then after seven times seven, the wonderful Jubilee. Oh Lord, how we sing of it, the year of Jubilee is come. Oh, return, ye wandering sinners, come. Oh Lord, that release is what thy people need. Oh, thee to proclaim that full release. That full release from guilt. This is what poor souls need. And so we do seek it, Lord. And oh, we look for thee to work and to appear in thy wonderful way and for thy glory. That souls may be blessed, indeed blessed. And indeed blessing is what they need. Oh, they know with their own personal sin and guilt and their burden in this respect that we cannot keep ourselves. And all we beg of thee, all that we might have, in whatever state and condition we are, and realization of our need to come before thee, may godly sorrow lead us into repentance. Oh, to know that blessed favour to repent and live. Oh, Lord, oh, that blessed gospel repentance toward God. Oh, it's always joined to faith. Oh, we pray for faith, Lord. Faith to believe. Oh, we beg thee, come tonight and so bless souls. Favour them, Lord, indeed. We pray for all thy people, Lord, who knoweth how it is with one and another who cannot be here tonight. We think of two dear young friends in the hospital and a little babe born to them. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord. And oh, we pray for that little one, that in thy time thou wilt manifest it as one of the vessels, thy vessels of mercy, if it could please thee. Lord, oh, we do thank thee for the gift. We thank thee for thy merciful kindness. Oh, we pray for, Lord, any others in this path of anxiety regarding, Lord, these things, in their families, in their lives. Oh, that according to thy will, thy favour may be known in these ways. And, oh, Lord, sanctify these thy dealings with thy people. Where it is of thy wonderful giving, where it is of thy withholding, or whatever way it is, thy people need grace to bear to thy holy will. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy favour may be felt. Oh Lord, as we think of it too, as what we have known in the pathway of great loss, he gives and he takes, and he makes no mistakes. We pray for the grace to humbly acknowledge this, to bow before thee, our holy heavenly Father, and to be able to acknowledge, Father, thy will be done. Oh, we pray thus for all thy people in their various pathways, personal pathways. Oh, Lord, we, thou knowest, was favoured but much in a previous occasion, a week or more ago, Lord, when those things were set forth before us in thy house regarding dear Daniel. Oh, a man greatly beloved, Lord, also in that last verse of the book, go thy way till the end be. Thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. Oh, Lord, this is what each of thy people need and need to seek the prospect of. The promise of it, the wonderful prospect. Oh, that we shall be found there, found right at last, saved by grace, and welcomed home by thy blessed self. Oh, come in, thou blessed of my Father. Oh, prepare us, Lord. We tremble before thee regarding the day of judgment. Beg of thee in that dread moment, O to hide beneath his sheltering blood, through Jordan's icy waves divide, and land their souls with God, after death the judgment. Oh, to be found, oh, to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Do prepare us, Lord, to stand before thy face. Oh, those times when we have been favoured to believe, thou art indeed preparing us. And that blessed time of the seal of the Spirit, of our sonship, and of our pardon. But Lord, we need these great favours that we have known, we need them renewed. And others here, Lord, need to receive these favours. Oh, to be blessed with them, Lord, to be assured. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Bless the younger friends, Lord. Oh, they know their love to them, their love for their souls, exercise for them, Lord. Oh, thou knowest thou hast given us a number to pray for. Thou hast given us some as sons and daughters in the faith. Lord, oh, thou knowest these dear ones here, Lord. We bear them before thee. We beg of thee, Lord, may there be those things so wonderfully taught them and burned in their hearts. And where it is already so, go on, their mighty prince, thy wonders to make known to them, Lord. Teach them more and more of thy blessed self. Oh, Lord, may they feel more and more the preciousness of their Lord and Saviour. Reveal thyself, Lord. Speak to them. Oh, as thou didst, Lord, speak to those characters when there was here on earth, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Lord, go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole. O Lord, we believe thou canst so convey these great favours today. O, thou canst speak and make it known and seal their souls. Bless them, Lord. We beg thee, Lord. And older friends too, we pray, thou wilt bless them, favour them. Give the grace, Lord, as thy people come into paths of affliction, bodily and in whatever way it is, the weakness that comes on with advancing years. Give the grace, Lord, in these times that poor souls need. Oh, Lord, how wonderful it is when we are feeling weakly, or sickly, or whatever it is, to be led to meditate upon thee. If we have sores, if we have pains, if we have afflictions of these kind, but then to be led to consider thee. Oh, what a favour it is, Lord, we pray for it. We may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Oh, to be led into deep fellowship with thee in thy sufferings, Lord. Oh, how blessed this is. And like the apostle, to live always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Oh, Lord, bless precious souls in these ways. And thus get to thyself, Lord, all the praise. We pray for our guilty country, Lord. Oh, thou knowest our great sadness regarding our state and the way in which things have gone in our land, and such days they are. Lord, we've read in a report, Lord, those things made of comments regarding the secular society, Lord. It's a dreadful society as a whole. Lord, oh, the way in which so many things have been turned against the teaching of thy word. Oh, Lord, our rulers seem determined to do more and more in this sad way. Oh, we pray, do thou appear. Lord, the protests that are made are encouraging. In that many have made clear their feelings regarding the matter which is currently before government in this way to further turn away from the teaching of thy word and change the very good and right laws regarding marriage. Oh Lord, we beg of thee, thou wouldst sway thy scepter over our government. Cause them to know who is God, and thou art angry. Thy displeasure is great where they are going these ways so contrary to thy word. Oh, make men in high places tremble, Lord, before thee, the living God. Cause them to hear thy voice, Lord. We read in thy word of the great power of thy voice, thy majesty, thy holiness. Oh, Lord, do show who is God above England, above our Parliament, Lord. Lord, do so work, causing those in high places to solemnly consider. And if it be thy will that it might be for the purpose that individually they might be brought to repentance, oh, to be made concerned and to tremble before thee in the way thy people have to fall down when thou dost begin to deal with them. When thou dost bring thy holy law and condemn those, Lord, according to thy will. And some of us here know what solemn days they were when we were even first brought under the condemnation of thy holy law. Oh, if thou dost do this, even for men in high places, they will be greatly changed and turned round. Hear us, Lord, for these important matters. Hear us for our loved ones in our families, Lord. Thou knowest the great sadnesses some of us have. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, our daily burden over it. And now we bring them unto thee and cast them upon thee. Dear Lord, do thou deal with them. Deal with them, Lord. Oh, break their hearts. Show them thyself. Show them themselves. Teach them, Lord, one thing is needful. Oh, hear us, Lord, thou knowest our great burden. Oh, we bless thee for the balancing of the clouds. We bless thee for the favours, oh, the wonderful favours thou hast afforded us to balance the clouds, Lord. Oh, we bless thee, thou triune God, the wondrous working of him who is perfect in knowledge. So help us here now this night to praise thy great name, to glorify thee, oh, even in the trials and in the fires, may thy people be able to glorify their God. So help us, Lord, we be. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, O fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. 199.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to St Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and the 14th and 15th verses. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The words that seem to come and rest on my spirit, friends, late last night and in through the night, are these words, repent ye and believe the gospel. And as we were led into some meditation, I trust, and if I may carefully say without any kind of natural boasting, sweet meditation as the Lord gave us some nearness to him, felt nearness to him. He come into one and we feeling the sweetness of felt nearness to him, in that we were able to personally ponder these things, the great favour of believing the gospel, believing in Christ and living upon him and unto him and trusting him. These are the favours we felt come to us like this with the exercise of the Spirit to give us a large heart of desire and exercise for souls, that many might be blessed in these wonderful things, the favours of the gospel, and I might come to you tonight with this laid in my heart, a pure desire and love, an exercise for your soul's good, and in that way for God's glory. After some meditation, we were led to Joseph Hart's hymn. It came to us without searching, and then I simply had to look up and find the number. But Joseph Hart says, repent, awaken souls, repent, hear the good tidings God has sent. Of sinners saved and sin forgiven, and beggars raised to reign in heaven. And thus with that, I believe the dear Spirit led us into a little more light and favour to begin to seek the Lord, to lead one to consider these souls are awakened souls. Now, I want to bring it before you tonight, set it before you like this. Some of you, do you believe you can say, I'm an awakened soul? One whom God has quickened into life, made to know my solemn state, made to know and seek the Lord, to know my need of salvation, to know my need of an interest in the Saviour's blood. You see, I believe if we can carefully consider this in the way of the working of the Spirit of God, I believe intends that this word should be, for friends, it's recorded for the purpose of God to yet use it. He has used it many times. God has his perfect way of using his holy word. It's not just set on the page as a history statement, friends. God has a purpose to use his word. I believe all God's word is recorded and kept on record. And as God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, But my word shall not pass away, because there's such great importance upon the word of God, and according to the God's purposes of love and mercy, God uses his word. What sometimes we pray, as the hymn writer put it, apply thy word. The rules must give, and teach us lessons how to live, and firmly to believe. And that is, I believe, a poor desire and an expression, a prayer of our need for the Lord to do it for us. To do it in the church of God, to do it among his people, to do it for souls whom he loves and has a purpose to bless and establish in the faith. And so tonight, the way the Lord, I trust, has given me this to bring before you is in several aspects. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. This was a great part of what the Lord came for, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. We know he came, if I may carefully say so, for much more. He must come. He has come to suffer, bleed and die. But whilst he was here on earth, he had come to preach the gospel. And of course, as it's recorded in his word, God's people will acknowledge, never man spake like this man. The perfect preaching of the gospel was the Lord of life and glories himself preaching the gospel. And so he came. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. Now that relates, of course, to the time, all the time of that looking for him to come, all the time of the prophecies, all the time of looking for the coming Messiah, and the Lord is here now on earth. The time is come. But friends, with one and another of you, oh, is it that the time is come? If you are able to humbly acknowledge you're not where you were when you were in an unregenerate state, God has made you become concerned about your never-dying soul. And he has made you to become a seeker after him. But there is this time, these days, months, or maybe years, of waiting, of seeking. And with some of you, it may be that you feel, well, I've been seeking so long. I've been begging the Lord so long. But I have not been brought into that liberty. The Lord has not yet set me free. I long for it. Now, is there a reason? The Lord says, repent and believe the gospel. Now, many things sometimes come together. And we received through the post this morning the report of our main charity. And in reading it, part of it today, we were led to deeply think and ponder about how our friends and us, each of us, we are concerned about the low state of things in our beloved denomination. Now, I've said for years, friends, I believe it is an exercise to McWan. We should be looking for the reason. And we should be burdened about this reason. In the context of what we read in the second of the portions, friends, the Lord was there faced with those coming to him, and this was often so while he was here on earth. That there were characters coming to him that were in a profession of a legal religion. And they became very critical and questioning the Lord. And at various times in this, that was a thing that was continually happening, day after day and at different times. And different queries and questions, and the one that we read was, that query in regarding the Lord doing good on the Sabbath day. And the whole thing was concerning the legality of those that were criticizing him. That was what was behind it all. Now, I'm not saying that you have that legality, but can you see that as an example? And what did the Lord speak of there? Repent. You see, it must be that if there is anything that is barring God's favour, in that God is delaying his coming to set us at liberty, that is, according to his perfect knowledge, we should examine ourselves as to the reason. What kind of hope are we exercised in? Now, you know, there's a blessed theme we sing, and souls that know liberty and are favoured, having the special grant of a good hope given them, they will agree with what we sing sometimes. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, I believe this, friends, and I knew something of it in my own experience in my earlier days. You see, we were brought up strict Baptists, brought up in the strict, what I suppose is the strictest Baptist denomination in our land. And we can become legally minded in that. And if we are, we're carrying something that's got to go. Well, we can call one might our own. We have no full discharge. Dear Joseph Hart deals with it a lot in that hymn. He does. In the further verses, the sacred things of what he acknowledges are wholly and completely a sinner looking to Christ, looking to him, hoping in him, praying in the Holy Ghost, as the dear Holy Spirit gives the child of God pure desires. And if they're pure desires, they desires without the taint or contamination of anything of our own, patching up some inglorious peace with God. Oh, God's people have got to be made self-renouncing, grace-admiring. Then they're made unto salvation wise. And this is what I believe is in these words of the Lord here. Repent and believe the gospel. It's repent of every sin. It's repent of everything that we may hold of any kind of fond hope. Everything has got to go. It must be total confession, honest total confession, complete resignation, complete falling down before the Lord. Come just as thou art with thy woe, fall down at the feet of the Lamb. Brought into that place, you'll know what it said, what the hymn writer goes on to say: no wrath on his brow he doth wear, nor will he for mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A deep and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. So are we holding on to anything which is grieving the Lord? Are we holding on to anything which fosters our own self-confidence and self-esteem? These are important things to consider. And are we, in moments left to ourselves in conversation, bringing some critical view about others who profess God's name? For this is what the Pharisees did. They got all kinds of opinions about other people. The Lord ever so clearly, he very much clearly exposed it and spoke against it. As we find, it was so as we read in that. There was that thinking of about people's sins. Sadly, we can be caught in these terrible days we're living in. It's right we should be concerned to read and hear the news day by day, to be concerned about the things that are taking place in the world, and they are terrible, friends. They are awfully terrible and solemn. But are we left to kind of carrying a hardness in a kind of acceptability that this is what it, how it is today? Sometimes are we sadly left to have thoughts, well, they're wicked people in that land. You see, the Lord detected the sad spirit in it. And he questioned, were they sinners above other sinners? I tell you, nay. How solemnly the Lord makes this clear. And you know, as we hear these awful, dreadful things taking place, do we kind of carry some view? It might be right back of your mind or heart, but it's there. Well, they're wicked country. They're wicked people. But oh, friends, they're all souls. They're all precious souls. Oh, how are we in our concern? How are we? Are we truly sympathetic? Are we truly sorrowful? As we hear and know of the things that are going on and taking place in the earth, and do we observe them as solemn warnings to us? The signs of the times, and what did the Lord say himself regarding these times? He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Can we do that? Can we look up? Believe in our redemption draweth nigh, and do we in that way, in a clean way, in a holy way, do we with great thankfulness bless our God he has saved us? Oh, has he saved us? Has he called us with an holy calling? Has he saved us by his grace? Is this our hope for eternity? Is this our hope for heaven, our hope against the day of evil, the terrible day of judgment, which will be as that to millions in the earth? And will it bring us into this humble posture to bow before God and say, why me, O blessed God, why me, who must forever lie in hell, we're not salvation free? Well, let us look a little more in this way at the 15th verse. and saying, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The time of our experience, any one of you, each one of you, as God may by the Spirit lead you to consider personally, the days, the time of your experience, what you have received under God's teaching, and how he has brought you to more particularly carefully consider, watching, waiting, longing, and as Christ has been made to you in some blessed measure precious to you, and yet, oh, what you want, you what you know you desire and feel to desire and know you need him to tell you he loves you. My dear friend earnestly prayed for this before the service. This is some of us that are older in the way and have had wonderful experiences, yet we need it again, we need it renewed. The younger ones need it for the first time. You need that blessing, and indeed blessing, you need the Lord to say that he loves you. Tell you by his own mouth he's chosen you. Are you seeking it? Can I question in love and faithfulness? Are you renouncing everything of yourself or anything of fond esteem? Or are you brought to absolute rock bottom in confession? Repentance, what is repentance? It is work by sorrow being felt. Sorrow over your sins. Real deep sorrow. Oh, to feel sin. Cut deep. Beyond expression. And yes, you will consider these sins that are so solemn to you, and you won't want to continue to hold or show any self-esteem. You want to renounce him. You want to repent of him. The Lord gives this repentance. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Oh, the one said, patch up now in glorious peace. Oh, come just as thou art with thy woe. Fall down at the feet of the Lamb. To be really, truly sorry. I know when the time was getting close, when the Lord was in his wonderful purposes, in his holy mind, bringing me toward the time to be set at liberty. I wasn't holding anything then of self-esteem. You see, we can be proud of what we know, proud of what we may be even led rightly to do and to do in God's name. We can be proud of it. We can foster our self-esteem through it. Oh, we need to renounce it. We need to renounce anything of any kind of legal holding of religion. You see, all our days meeting with God's people as we do, nothing of that will save us. I'm not saying that to in any way influence any to not meet as we do. You will be brought to love to meet among God's people. You won't rely on it for salvation. You won't try to self-encourage yourself of thus in this way you should be favoured. Oh, you'll be brought to this, give me Christ, or else I die. And to really know it, to really believe that, to really go before God, pleading it, crying to God, give me Christ or else I die. Really, truly, honestly, acknowledge it, confess it, and plead it, plead with God in that way, give me Christ or else I die. In the context of the second reading, the solemn words of the Lord were these: except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How solemn, what a tremendous solemn statement. And the Lord used that word except in a number of ways in his holy ministry. He also used it when he was addressing his disciples and relating to the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes and Pharisees. And he said then, he said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Lord is very, very clear, totally, perfectly faithful, very perfect in love and faithfulness. Is the holy ministry of Christ absolutely perfect, complete and clean and holy in every way? And, oh, he always does what is right. And he must be righteous, gracious and righteous still. He is. He does what is right. He declares what is right, like we read in the prophecy. I declare things that are right. And so he will do this, and the effect of it under the influence of the Spirit in a child of God will bring them to this true repentance, full, complete repentance. Sorrow for sin, confession, repentance, exercise to leave off it, to leave off every sin, to forsake sin. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. Oh, we bring you there. Repent and believe the gospel. Where the dear Lord gives full, complete, true, saving repentance, he gives faith for the child of God to believe. I'm sure of this, friends. I hope I am a witness of it. He gives this repentance. Sinners truly repent and live, believing in Christ. Believe it. He can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Yes. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God's people repent of their sins, and the gracious influence and exercise of the Holy Spirit, and they believe the gospel. They believe. They believe to the saving of their soul. Now, this is what every one of us need, friends. Need to know before we are taken out of this life by the hand of death. If not, we will be like the Lord says, ye shall likewise perish. And we know that word perish that the Lord used there. It doesn't mean annihilation. It doesn't mean a total end. It means be lost and cast into hell. I believe that is what the Lord meant in his searching holy ministry. But this waiting time, saying the time is fulfilled. I believe as the dear Spirit works in a soul, there is that favour granted them of some blessed expectation. If you are really truly brought to feel your sins and to painfully feel them and sorrow over them and truly confess them, I believe as the dear Spirit leads you into that most vital saving repentance, it will give the faith for you to begin to believe in Christ in a wonderfully blessed way. And you see, what is actually happening, the time is being fulfilled, drawing near. The time is drawing near for such a soul in such an exercise to be set at gospel liberty. Now, it's not much preached today, and I don't want to say that to in any way promote myself, because I'm a poor preacher and feel it. But you know, I hope my gospel, the gospel God has given me, has the solemn things of God's law and gospel, the solemn things of the teaching of the Spirit, which God will cause his people to know and be convicted and convinced of their sin. Like the hymn writer puts it in Desire, convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wandering view reveal the secret love of God. I believe as this time is fulfilled in experience, there'll be this favour, blessedly felt, of faith, the grant of God, of faith, in a strengthening measure to enable a sinner to begin to expect the blessing. David in the psalm, we preached from it at Oakington on Wednesday evening, David in the psalm, in Psalm 62, he says, my expectation is from him. This favour, friends, I believe you will know something of him. As enabled to renounce everything of self and truly repent of all the kinds of sin, which are various and many, especially the deep heart sins you feel and the treachery of your old nature. All this you will confess, and also the legality of the carnal mind. All this a sinner must confess and repent of and feel sorrow over and desire to be rid of and leave, and then to believe. You see, it's in this wonderful truth, wonderful theme, Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. Yes, every child of God, Christ has holiness enough to sanctify them, to pardon them, to favour them to know his forgiving love. His holy blood is shed. It has such power in it to put away a Mary and a Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than they. And the favour of believing the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. This is how sinners are blessed, you know. This is how souls are set at gospel liberty. This is God's way. The only way, salvation by grace, how charming a sound. It's what Christ has done, his perfect, complete, holy sacrifice of himself, his holy blood shed at Calvary, his holy person he suffered in his own body, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you see, every one of God's people, must be brought to know it. Oh, to know the Lord, to be able to testify of him, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, this is what we need. We need the blood applied. We need to know that wonderful favour of blessed, favour of pardon and peace that comes through the application of the blood of Christ to our very hearts and consciences. And God, he gives that faith. And the blood is applied by faith. The child of God believes in the blood applied. He knows, he believes it. It's given him, it's applied to him. And the righteousness of Christ, faith puts it on, as it were. It's the favour of believing. When the Lord here himself said, repent and believe the gospel, he was saying everything. It covered every aspect of the full salvation that he had come to bring in for sinners. Yes, repent and believe the gospel. And you know, the gospel was set forth right through Old Testament days, especially from the Passover night. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But friends, that blood had to be applied. No hope of salvation without the blood applied. No safety in any house of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians, but the children of Israel especially. No safety in any house unless the blood was applied to the doorpost and lintel. And I believe, friends, having heard it set forth so many years ago when I was very young in the way, by the late Mr. Kemp of Luton, having the privilege of fetching him from his home, and then in the evening service, a weeknight service, he preached from that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But he so was led to explain that it was applied to the doorpost and lintel. And he said it signifies the heart and the conscience of every child of God. No salvation without the blood applied. No safety, no eternal safety, unless the blood is applied to thee, poor soul. It's applied by faith. God gives his people that vital grace of faith to believe. The blood is applied. And when it's applied, and this is profound, it's always on. In that way, as we sometimes sing, as oft as sin assail thy soul, turn thine eyes to Jesus' blood. And you know, oh my soul, with wonder view, for sin to come, there's pardon too, through the shedding of the holy blood of Christ, for every true believer there's pardon too, even for sin to come. What a wonder it is, oh my soul, with wonder view, for sin to come, there's pardon too. This won't make you loose and liberal in allowance of sin. You will understand what the apostle wrote when he was writing to the Romans. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Of course not. God's people are given that love to Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. It saves us from the looseness and lightness of living loosely. We are given to view Christ as that one who was pierced for us. They shall look on him whom they pierced and mourn for him who, as one mourneth for his only son and is in bitterness for his firstborn. You will not sin lightly after the blood's applied. Oh, precious drops, my soul be doing. Bring and seal my peace with God. That sacred theme we've been singing. Oh, favour of that. the things in that sacred hymn, the things of the first hymn, the things that perhaps we may yet be led to see, the wonderful favour of the Lord blessing sinners, favouring them to know and taste redeeming love. Saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I think as well, friends, I feel as well, the Lord is expressing the urgency and the urgency of the importance of being prepared. The kingdom of God is at hand. We know there's been these nearly 2,000 years since the Lord was on earth. But you see, these are the last times. There's not another dispensation. And friends, the next phase of your life and mine, as it were, will be in eternity. After death, the judgment. Where will we be? I said your life and mine because we've got an immortal soul, a life that can never die. But we do, more important than anything, need to know our destiny. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? Repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, if he is able, and Mr. Woodhouse next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. 1056.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that they have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.